You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
US President Donald Trump recently voiced his displeasure at a treaty which would return sovereignty over the Chagos Islands to Mauritius. The Chagos Islands are the last remaining British territory in the Indian Ocean, and since the 1970s have hosted a joint British-American military base. I spoke to Auckland University's Chris Ogden about the past, present, and future of the Chagos Islands and the strategically important role they play in the projection of US power in the region. I suspect that most listeners will not be intimately familiar with the Chagos Islands, so before we discuss the current geopolitical situation, could you give us a brief overview of where these islands are, how they became a British territory in the first place, and who else has claimed sovereignty over them?
Yep, so they're a very small group of islands in the middle of the Indian Ocean, about 1,000 miles from the southern tip of India. They are of strategic significance for the UK and the US as part of their wider kind of strategic alliance. And the reason they're important is because they're a very useful starting point for bombers and for warships that are active in that area, to the degree that sometimes they've even been called an unsinkable aircraft carrier. They've been a British possession on and off for the last 100 or so years, but contemporarily they're going to be returned to Mauritius and returned to their sovereignty, except for the Diego Garcia military base, which is shared by the US and the UK.
What's the current status of that treaty? It's yet to be ratified, correct?
It's yet to be ratified. It's going through the Houses of Parliament in the UK. It looks as though it will be passed. But again, the most important thing is, even though the US president has criticised the UK for that treaty, the ownership of Diego Garcia goes nowhere. So I think there'll be a continued 99-year lease for the Diego Garcia part of the islands.
US President Donald Trump took to Truth Social last week to express his views on Britain's plans to transfer the islands. He described the deal as a blight on our great ally, imploring Britain to remain strong in the face of wokeism. Is Trump right to be concerned about the transfer of these islands to Mauritius from a US strategy point of view?
So I think if they were all being returned, including Diego Garcia, absolutely they would be concerned, because they're going to lose this military base and where they can then project force wherever they like within that region. But I think it's very similar to what's happened with Greenland, where Trump said, well, we want more people there, we want a bigger military base. And actually, under the treaties with the Danes, the US can do that. So in many ways, I think it's more to do with the facts, from my understanding, is that the British refused the US to use the base to attack Iran. So I think it's much more criticism of a wider dynamic rather than an accurate appraisal of the actual legal situation concerning the islands.
On the Iran point, Trump has obviously implied that the joint UK-US military base on Diego Garcia is crucial to their strategy with regard to Iran. He wrote, "Should Iran decide not to make a deal, it may be necessary for the United States to use Diego Garcia in order to eradicate a potential attack by a highly unstable and dangerous regime." Given that the Chagos Islands are located around 4,000 kilometres from Iran, how plausible is it that these islands could play a role in a future conflict?
They would definitely be of help. There are plenty of other bases closer to Iran, but certainly as this kind of staging point, they're very useful. These islands were used, say, at the beginning of this century for bombing campaigns against Afghanistan. They're also involved with campaigns against Iraq. So I think it's more thinking about, let's say there was a huge escalation of tensions between the US and Iran that amounted to war, the US will need as many staging bases as it could possibly have. So losing one of them would definitely temper the ability of US military power to respond against Iran.
Under Margaret Thatcher, we saw that Britain was willing to go to war to retain possession over their island territories. But now Britain seems to be willing to hand over these territories through a peaceful diplomatic process. Are British attitudes to its overseas possessions changing? And is there a prospect of other island territories being transferred or gaining independence in the near future?
That's a really good question. So I think a lot of that is to do with timing, but I think it's also to do with who lives there. So you've raised the example of the Falkland Islands, for example, which are off the bottom coast of Argentina, which were wanted to be reclaimed by the Argentinians. But that occurred at a time of political tension for Margaret Thatcher, and that was used as a point of nationalism that Britain could go back and reclaim them. But also there was quite a heavy population there who were extremely linked back to the UK. That was never really the case with the Chagos Islands. Their links were always much stronger with Mauritius. And also in terms of this heavy military base that was used by another great power, that's also not the case as well. So I think in many ways that they're not really comparable in particular ways. In terms of the UK returning other parts of land that it owns around the world, I think it has to be based upon that rationale of, is it worthwhile strategically, or is it causing some kind of wider headache? So, for example, British possessions in Gibraltar, I don't think those would ever be returned because that's the gateway to Europe, for example. And you could see a similar case for maybe some small islands, even in our region, that also maybe wouldn't be returned if they had this deeper strategic value or strategic links towards the US.
The example of Pitcairn Island springs to mind as a British overseas territory in our region of the Pacific. Does that hold any strategic significance?
So I think the difference, say, with Pitcairn and, say, Chagos is and Diego Garcia is that Diego Garcia is in a very isolated part of the world, whereas Pitcairn, for example, there are plenty of other islands within this region that could serve US interests, including, of course, those in American Samoa. So, yeah, in many ways, it could be kind of knocked off the kind of possession list, as it were, but I don't really see that as being plausible in the short term.
You briefly mentioned the Chagos Island people before, and last year the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination expressed deep concern over the terms of this recent deal. So could you just tell us a bit more about the Chagosian people, what happened to them, and is there a pathway for their eventual return to the islands?
So what happened with the Chagosian people is that they were forcibly removed from the islands, and most of them were sent to the UK. And then there was an ensuing scandal called the Windrush scandal, which was to do with whether the people who were forced back into the UK had full rights in terms of being citizens. And certainly that had an impact upon their identity, about where they were based, and looked as though it was fundamentally removing them from where they ought to have been. And that definitely caused a scandal within the UK in terms of what's the meaning of being British, but also how people are treated within the empire. In terms of them being returned, I think the question will be, what does Mauritius want to do? Because in many ways, that question will move over to them if they're to gain sovereignty over most of the islands apart from Diego Garcia.
That was Chris Ogden discussing the Chagos Islands.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.